grew up like most of the people I know in a primarily English-speaking household. Filipino was one of the subjects in elementary and high school that I remember rejoicing if I got a grade of at least a high 7. A 78 was good enough for me. I was made fun of by others who were more comfortable speaking Tagalog. Barok, they would say. Baluktot mag-Tagalog. Bulol! I swear we have the most colorful and scandalous sounding terms. It wasn't until I entered the melting pot that is UP Diliman that I started to appreciate how things sounded in straight up Filipino. There was something about the passion of the students in Balmahol as they shouted for prices of commodities to go down. And just by looking at their faces, it was as if the very people in charge of addressing this seemingly never-ending problem were right there with them in the AS lobby, when in fact, they were many miles away in their air-conditioned offices. When Señor Maranan taught us about Rizal in PI 100, the latter's famous words now make more sense than ever. Ang hindi nagmamahal sa sariling wika ay masahol pa sa malansang isda. Nowadays, I'm confronted with a surprisingly common conundrum. Paano matututo ang mga anak ko mag-Tagalog? You know, if you visit the Mine Museum in BGC, there's an installment in the second floor featuring different languages and dialects, some of them native. And there are some up-and-comers. Sadly, there are also some that are in rapid decline. Could we be unknowingly diluting the very legacy we should be celebrating and furthering?
Nakakatakot isipin, di ba? Buti na lang nandyan si Vanessa.
Vanessa Bicomong is a mom of three and is the co-founder of The Learning Library, an online educational enrichment company that specializes in after-school programs for reading and writing in English and Filipino. She's also a marketing consultant and lecturer at Ateneo de Manila University. We talk a little bit about the state of the Filipino language, how the youth is faring in speaking it, and what we could, no, make that what we should be doing as parents. In this episode of Mother of Fact. Hi, Vanessa. Thank you so much for taking time out to talk to me today.
Hi, Ricky. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so today we're going to talk about why it seems like it's such a struggle for our youth to speak their native tongue. Let's lay the foundation real quick. Vanessa, you teach at Ateneo de Manila University, your lecturer. Can you tell us a little bit about your background?
Okay. Yeah, I actually am a marketing consultant, but one of the companies that I used to work for was Scholastic, which is the Harry Potter company. And they had a move for a reading center that's community-based. Eventually, we took that on outside of Scholastic, myself and partners, and we put up the learning library, primarily for reading comprehension. Eventually, we found out that Filipino reading comprehension is a bigger problem. And so that was in 2006, and now we're in 2022, and we have more than 80% of our students in Filipino versus reading. So I'm the president and co-founder of the Learning Library, and we offer wikagaling as the solution for kids who are struggling to learn Filipino as a second language.
Wow, wait, okay, back up. 2006 pa lang, nagsistruggle na tayo as a country?
It was actually in 2006, we were doing just English. And then I took a break from the Learning Library. When I came back in 2007, they actually had Filipino reading comprehension. And I totally remember pointing to the flyer and saying, that is a real need. My marketing spider sense was tingling. That is the need. And we started developing a version of Wikaigaling face-to-face in 2009. This is really hair-raising. A year before the pandemic, we actually started developing an online version of Wikaigaling. And so exactly, March 16, we had sent out our last laptop the day before. Yeah, and so we were ready to offer Wikaigaling. We pivoted 2 weeks after April 1, we were doing online Wikaigaling.
Wow, the timing!
Like, it's amazing.
The timing, oh, wow.
So to your point, way back, you could see, because our head office is right outside Ateneo, so you could see some kids having a problem with it. But it admittedly wasn't as many of them as they are now.
And I imagine the pandemic has a lot to do with it, right?
Not exactly. It has a lot to do with moving online. If you were to ask me what has a lot to do with it, it is YouTube and Spotify. Cable, it began with cable and then YouTube. So anything that makes you choose one language over the other in terms of media, yeah.
I want to break that down. Because,
okay, so much to.
Yeah, so much to unpack because I feel like I was also victim to this. I was also victim to a very Western way of life, of upbringing, I guess. Like it was more, we were speaking English more at home.
So you're the same. My father attempted, so I'm 50 years old.
Uh-huh.
My father attempted to have us speak in English and we just ignored him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but because I could, and this may be jumping, but I think I'm living proof that as long as you write it well, speaking is not going to be a problem. So I could write well in English. I ended up in the honor section for English in college, but I could not really speak it very fluently. I think I didn't speak in college for like 2 months because everybody was speaking English around
what?
Me.
What?
Yeah. But then, but after, you know, a couple of months, okay, let's do this. So if you were to focus on something, I really believe it is writing, whether it's in English or Filipino. As long as you write properly and you write well, speaking is not going to be as difficult.
Oh. Do you think you could learn like a random language just by studying it?
Well, because we are exposed to it. So that's what you actually have to break down, right? You're exposed to it and you were taught it properly. I'm a reader. So I could sense language patterns. And of course, I have a vocabulary that is commensurate to my reading exposure. So, and my father always said, look it up in the dictionary.
Yeah. Oh, classic. I think I can hear my grandpa as well say that a lot. Oh, wow. So reading has a lot to do with speaking.
Definitely. And that's why I feel that there's so much emphasis on conversational language. When in most of the times that you actually need fluency, it's in writing. And a lot of parents believe that their children are all right in English because they speak. But when you make them write, it's not good.
All right, all right. Okay, so how do we remedy this, Vanessa, as mothers? How old are your children, Vanessa?
So I have a child who is 21. I have a child who's 19. And
being
I have
still a child.
Yeah, they're adults.
Mama.
Mama. And I have a 12-year-old. So that's kind of interesting because my eldest one spoke Filipino until she reached school. My boy was partly English at home and English in school. But when they went to a school, so they went to a progressive school, but when they reached high school and they were around people who spoke in Filipino, then that's no problem. Because they're older, then they did have some exposure to Philippine media, music, etc. Now, it came to my youngest, who's like far away from them in terms of age. She's the one who I had to really, you know, enroll in Wikigaling from the start. Right? And she was around people by that time. What we observe as a phenomenon of more children from the middle and upper class, to be fair, speaking in English, that's the world that she grew up in. So she's the one having a difficult time speaking it, but I think pretty much writing is fine because the teachers tell me she writes all right.
Oh, well, she must have gotten it from you.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. So there. So I think, and she just recently moved to a science high school where there are more kids who speak Filipino. So she would have more exposure and more opportunities to push herself to speak in Filipino.
As somebody who's really studied it, is there a stark difference between the meaning of things said in Filipino and if you say it in English? Because I don't know if you're into K-pop, no, but sometimes when they have these concerts and they translate what they're saying, minsan na-misconstrue or na-misinterpret.
Any language, there are some concepts that are not translatable, like gigil. I teach college, so I teach marketing in college, and just yesterday, a group of Ateneo boys submitted something in Filipino because the project is online preschool for the urban poor. So they had to communicate the concept in Filipino to their target audience. And I told them right away, you are using Google Translate. Google Translate is fine for comprehension, but please do not use Google Translate when you're actually communicating something.
Okay, so how big of a problem is this that your college students?
Yeah, they're to tell you how bad it is. We get in Wikegaling, we get enrollees from Bulacan. We get enrollees from Laguna. So this is like, why are you here? And this was 5 years ago. I was already saying that, why are we getting kids from supposedly the hotbed where Filipino is supposed to be still more prevalent?
Dapat walang problem dun.
And I believe it's because a lot of parents, when they were younger, they went to college or at work, and they were surrounded by some people who were the minority, I think at the time, who would speak Filipino or English very fluently. And they would go, oh, one day I will have my children be that fluent, right?
Why kaya?
Yeah, not realizing that. So they would say, oh, I'll teach you Filipino at home. Anyway, when you go out, you'll learn Filipino. Eh, paano yan? Lahat naman kayo ginawa yon. So lahat kayo, nung lumabas na yung mga anak nyo sa tahanan nyo, naging English na rin yung mga bata. Right? So I think it's that. It's not a stereotype that, you know, only the well-educated speak English. The goal is to be bilingual. That is the goal. I actually like listening to Filipino mass in Filipino now because of Ateneo. They would have people who were perfectly bilingual and you'd be inspired. So I think it's that. It's parents not giving a good foundation for their children. Number two, there's media that you can choose. It's media on demand. And unfortunately, you would pick media in English most of the time if you were a child. And the schools, I think, do not realize that Filipino should be taught sometimes as a second language. And it's quite difficult, right? It's the curriculum assumes that your native language is Filipino. And I will teach it differently from the way you teach Filipino as a second language. But you can argue it's the reverse problem in English. We're teaching English poorly at the same time, you know?
Oh, yeah, if you think of it that way.
It is.
I like how you mentioned and you pointed out that it really is a second language.
It is.
Is that supposed to be the case?
That's how we do it in Mar marketing. You know, I have two headlines. Pirap ba siya sa Filipino? And then the copy is, we teach Filipino as a second language. And it hits the parents that this is what we're doing. It doesn't sound nice. We got to call a spade a spade. You are being taught Filipino as a native language speaker in your schools, which is why you have a problem. It's so many things. And there's no one to blame. Why does this problem not exist in other countries? Because they have good media in Filipino. My daughter, when I was asking her to watch Filipino shows, she would watch, there's nothing to watch. She would watch a telenovela. Mommy, why are they all shouting? You know, it is good media for children. And don't get me started about Batibot. People go, oh, you know, Batibot kasi is gone. I'm like, Batibot came back. You didn't patronize it. It died again, you know.
Oh, is that what happened to Batibot?
I believe that there was at least some shows in Filipino. That's very young. Yeah, you're going to outgrow Batibot. After Batibot, what? I read a lot. My favorite genre is YA, young adult. There's no young adult in Filipino. There's just Janus Silang. Wala. After, joke ko nga, after Adarna books, ibong Adarna na. Ang layo, diba? There's none. And even Janus Silang, I was told, the author had a grant to teach or like a fellowship in Japan. And he didn't have a lot of teaching hours, so he had time to write. So parang naging ano niya, naging workshop
pa.
Oh, yeah, yun, workshop time niya dun, diba? But it was accidental.
You don't feel that it's good enough? Is it greener pastures if you write in English?
So I believe that if you look at English literature for children, right? A lot of those who teach are right. The ones who write are teachers. But the Filipino teacher profile is quite different.
Oo nga.
Diba? Yeah, Arnold Lobel was a teacher. Rick Riordan was a teacher. Judy Blume, I think, was a teacher. But there, it's like that. When you are in front of your audience, you will know what to write. You will know what they want, right? And so that does not translate here. There's a different kind of teacher profile. I have worked with teachers all my life, professional life. They're my favorite tribe. But I am not going to have my teachers, you know, submit something to a local publisher. You know, it's just not there. And the Philippine literature that does come out, a lot of them are by, how do you call it, artists. you know, like I write well and I'm going to write a book, you know, but somehow it's not fun enough. Of course, it's not zero, but I do find some Filipino books for children that have magic in it, whatever you call that. But there are not as many as you would wish.
Yeah. Yeah. They are a few good ones.
And there's many coming up right now, but you now go to who's going to afford it, right? Or will your children pick it? Because it is, they're going to see, oh, this is the English book and this is the Filipino book. You gotta get my attention. This is, has to be good.
Bakit ganon?
Pwede mo sabihin na mas magaling talaga yung isa, di ba? It's in all types of media, the book, the music, you know, you could argue.
Oo. Ah, oh, nakakalungkot naman.
Yeah, so if I were to ask me what I would do, I would put up a Filipino media station, you know, like Disney Channel for Filipino. And I was talking to somebody na meron akong mga ano, may endorser na ako, meron akong mga gustong shows, meron akong, you know, but somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to step up for the language.
Yeah, the name of the show is at the tip of my tongue, but he's an American male TV show host who could communicate really well with his audience. Let me know if this rings any bell.
Rogers?
Yes.
Yeah. But that's very young children, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm thinking like that's how I thought of the Disney Channel, right? You want to consume content, good content in Filipino.
Uh-oh, and educational, right?
So, see, that's the thing. The thing about books and media, you always want to educate. You don't want to educate. You just want to get them into it, right? I was telling my friends that I used to work in Scholastic and they're books that I could not get. Why is this like a classic book? And then I read it to my kids. It's, for me, it's a nonsense book. They asked for it every single night for 2 weeks. And there is a magic in this book that is not educational at all, right? And it got my kids listening and imagining things, right? So there's even a local series that has stories with moral lessons right in front, you know? And that's because parents want that. I don't think your children want it. Right? Who wants that? Who wants that? Right? Even the Bible teaches, Christ taught in parables. Right? You know, he did have, you know, the Beatitudes.
He made it colorful, yeah.
He made it memorable. It's a story and you kind of get it. We're not kids. When you write for kids, you have to be like a child. And what would a child want to listen to? I think we have great art. I think our children's book art is fantastic. There has to be more people stepping up to write the books for kids.
Who could these people be? Vanessa, where do we find them?
I actually asked, because some teachers in the learning library are from UP, Malikayang Pagsulat in Filipino. I'm like, hindi ba kayo nire-require na magsulat ng children's book?
Oo nga! Hindi ba thesis yon or something?
Parang it's a choice, right? So, yeah, I gotta go up to them. I think also that we don't have enough books for Filipino as a second language learners in locally. So the kids, when they're not na nga good in Filipino, and then they have to read a story that has very difficult words. Yeah, so you need readers, you know, those leveled readers. There's so many, no?
Oh. Iniisip ko pa lang yung hurdles of and I really wish it wasn't this way.
Yeah.
Kasi sometimes when I travel and I have to communicate in English, parang they tell me, "Wow, your English is so good. It's like ano, like an American."
Yeah.
And alam mo before, Vanessa, I used to feel pretty good about that. And I don't know why I would feel pretty good about that. But now that I'm an adult,
yeah,
I'm like, I'm not supposed to.
Yeah. I just came from Coron, and I spoke to a Dutch, a guy and a native girl. They couldn't believe that I grew up here. So yeah, you want your children to be bilingual, and a lot of times it's not even about the accent. Don't mind the accent. Don't mind the grammar. The thing about Filipino in school. So there's actually a bigger problem when you're teaching children Filipino. Ayaw nila, kasi. Lalo na siguro, if they go to the learning library, they go to us kasi Filipino lang yung mababa nilang subject. So magaling sila sa iba. So Filipino becomes their Waterloo. It's that thing that prevents me from being first honors in school. I will now have hesitation. Ayaw ko na siya. So what we do is we make it fun. You know, you have to make the children realize that they can be good in Filipino. And for us, as long as you have the confidence, huwag mo na isipin yung punto mo, huwag mo na isipin yung grammar mo, basta confident ka na you're able to communicate in Filipino and understand people when they communicate. And that's it. So that's my advice to parents, you know, give your children confidence, kaya mo yan, kaya mo yan. And I guess to start early, kasi when you're learning it late, the gap between what is required in school and what you are capable of, it gets bigger and bigger. It's the same for English. It's the same, right? Right? It's the same. You're not saying that it's particular to Filipino. It is learning a second language.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And that you really do have to immerse yourself and keep hearing it, no? Feeling ko kung masyado mong iniintindi na, oh, I have to study this language.
I have to match. Nakakahiya na magkamali ako.
Uh-oh. It has to come fluidly lang.
You have to read talaga eh, for me. You really have to read. So the onus is on publishers to come up with literature that children would really like to consume. So I was reading a book. I went to college and was taught by Mr. Tony Perez, who's a playwright. And he has a book, Kubaw Ilalim. It was published by the Komisyon ng Wikang Filipino. And when I was reading it, I realized why they picked his. Because the Filipino is so smooth. It's so colloquial. It's YA. It's a detective story. It's a detective story set in Cubao. And the language was, it was not pure Filipino. There are like translations, but it was so smooth. And that's why this book was chosen, because that's how the language is supposed to be used. There.
Yeah.
Masarap pakinggan. The way...
Hindi siya stiff.
Oo.
Nipilit.
Oo. Yung, ano lang, yung... Nakakalimutan mo na siya. Yeah, you just get lost in it. Like a good book in English, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, when you describe it that way, parang mas maengganyo kang matuto.
Yeah. Or just to consume it. Yeah. See, you've actually mentioned education, matuto. It's not that eh. It's just getting immersed, you know? There's a movie. It was produced by the husband of Lea Salonga, Robert Chen. It was a movie shown in cinemas na Filipino siya. So after a while, my children forgot that they were listening to something that was not familiar to them. They just got into it. Like you watch Much Ado About Nothing, the Shakespeare version with Keanu Reeves. In there after a while. You got into it na. You're kind of in Shakespeare ano na, language mode na. It's like that. It's like that. Because when you're really immersed, it becomes natural to you.
As a mother with young children, let's say they're listening right now, like what's the number one step that they have to take?
Magtagalog kayo sa bahay. Mag-Filipino kayo sa bahay.
Kayo sa bahay.
And this is the thing. You make them give it back to you. So, but like 90% will say, oh, nakakaintindi yung anak ko pero hindi makapagsalita. Right? Because they don't have the confidence. So I tell parents na, ask them a question. If they don't know the answer or are stilted, give them the answer and then have them give it back to you. Right? So para saan ka pumunta kanina? Ako punta simbahan. Pumunta ako ng simbahan. Sige nga, pumunta ako simbahan. One more time, pumunta ako sa simbahan. Pumunta ako sa simbahan. It's not enough for you. There's receptive and there's expressive. So as a plug, you can go to learninglibraries.com. We actually have articles about this, receptive versus expressive. We've tried to have all these questions put down in our blog, which is on our website, the Learning Libraries website.
Do you think that all moms, all Filipino moms, need some sort of ganto learning library?
I wish we were not needed, actually. I wish. But we're here to give children a positive first experience of Filipino. That's how I say it. For older kids, we are here to close the gap through building confidence and basic skills. So you gotta know where your children are at. I think a lot of parents just sweep the problem under the rug. Matututo rin yan, matututo rin yan. And then I go, Mommy, do you know that 50% of the reading comprehension test in the OPCAT is actually in Filipino?
It is. Yeah. Totoo. Okay, Vanessa, what is your take on Taglish if they mix it up?
Again, we're talking of expressive, conversational.
Confident. Yeah. Okay.
Versus written. Ayusin mo lang sa pagsusulat. Pero pag nag-Taglish ka nito, okay lang yan. And again, it's a start. You know, if your child at least is trying, then that's what you encourage. Huwag yung pagtatawanan. Huwag yung sasabihin na, ano ba yan? Ang dali-dali lang yan. What if I asked you to learn Chinese and you did not hear a word of Chinese? That's it. These children can go the whole day without hearing a word of Filipino. Pati yung mga kasambahay, nag-English na rin sa kanila, di ba?
Na natututo na mag-English.
Nagpa-practice, di ba? Like ako, I brought my children to the province, hometown ng asawa ko. Aba, yung mga pinsan, nag-English sa kanya, di ba? But having playmates who speak Filipino, like my son, when he went to the science high school, yun, araw-araw niyang kausap. So go to a place where there are people who can speak in Filipino to your child. And play is great. Kasi pag hindi ako nagtagalog, hindi kami makakapaglaro.
Yeah, communicate. Socialize. Oh, no.
Uh-uh.
Yeah. So that's a tip for moms. How about for educators, Filipino teachers who are trying to teach their students? What is your advice for effective teaching?
It begins with the curriculum. Curriculum talaga. Because the teachers will always execute what's there, diba? If you look at Ateneo became literature-based. So they have stories. It's actual stories, which is also our approach. The best way to teach young children is through stories. So they actually have literature. I think it's not even the whole book, some of it. And then they would have unlocking key vocabulary, right? And then they would have listening comprehension. And I don't think they have time for verbal answering, but at least listening comprehension is triggered there. It's a curriculum thing.
As young as what age?
And you'll see that before age two language, you can learn two languages simultaneously as a first language. After that, there is translation. I use the first language and then I have to translate it to the second one. But eventually, you can still be bilingual. It's just easier if you do it at a young age. So when their parents who come to us, we go, ano, ilang taon na, 2 years old, ayan na, gawin mo na exclusive Filipino yung household mo. Kasi paglabas nila, you know, wala na. Hindi na as kontrolado yung environment. Don't mind people like my panganay was 2 years old, sinabihan ako ng asawa ko na, ano ba yan? In-English anak mo, hindi niya alam kung anong sagot. Huwag ka mag-alala. Aabot din tayo dyan.
Oo.
And so that's my daughter is the one who's quite fluent. My son pwede na, and my youngest is the one na pahirapan tayo. Like in school, there's a Filipino novel that they have to take up. Hi, I'm gonna go line by line with her. It's very, let me point this thing out, and you'll never realize it until I point it out. Mahirap gumamit ng dictionary in Filipino. Why? Kasi di ba, marami tayong mga unlapi, di ba? Ma, ganda, ma, yaman. So you have to know what the root word is. Di ba? So hanapin mo pa yan. Hindi kaya sa English na, you know, diretso na siya. So a lot of kids have a difficult time using the physical dictionary. Then they go to Google Translate. And when you go to Google Translate, there's several options. You don't know which one. Diba? So I become a living dictionary to my child. That's one of our tips in our articles. I go line by line. When there's a word na alam ko hindi niya alam, live translation ako. Diba? Tiyagaan, no? Tiyagaan.
Oo. Pero paano sila matututo? Kailangan ganun. If, diba? Might as well teach it right.
And now, and early. It's actually
and
that.
And early. Is there such a thing as too late?
No, naman. It's like, you know, it's like saying that you can't learn a second language in your old age. You can, except that there's situations where it is required of you, like in college, diba? Yeah. So ano na, naghabol ka na. Nandito na tayo kasi, you know, we were kind of sweeping the problem under the rug and then ito na. So mahirap maghabol pag kinailangan na. Yeah, we even have some adults asking us to teach them. Sabi ko, teka, wala yata kami for adults kasi medyo conversational na yung kanila. You know, we don't go conversational because that's not, you know, there are other people who do that. Pero kami, we want to focus on where we believe that there's a real need, which is having academic Filipino and learning it as a second language.
Do you have a target year of when, you know, hopefully we'll be at a better place in terms of embracing.
Ayun na nga, pag nagkaroon na nga ng Disney Channel in Filipino, diba? And it's not even translation. So people ask me, oh, what if they just watch those shows na naka-dub, diba?
Dubbed.
So let me tell you what the problem is.
What's the problem?
The problem is that sentences are shorter in English. So, pag hinabol mo yung Filipino, ang bilis. And they have to use yung malalim na Filipino na because you have to say it in one word versus long. So, ang bilis. And that content was not meant for young, for teaching a language to young children. It's just, you know, your Hollywood thing and then you just translated it. It's a different thing. Iba yung goal nun. So, ang bilis-bilis, ang lalalim ng mga salita, and they're trying to explain the action because it is the action. Whereas, if you try to create a show around teaching the language, then obviously, the screenplay is going to be quite different.
Tama. Yeah. Oo nga.
Diba? Kaya nga, kailangan magkaroon ako ng grant. Gagawa na ako ng show.
My gosh. Okay. Aside from yung Disney in Tagalog, okay. What is another remedy that you would want to see in our education system?
Like I said, I don't want to be the one to speak for the system, right? But ako na lang as a mother, if I were to be, you know, part of the PTA of a school and I would tell the PTA na, hey, our children are having a problem, I would tell them that let's take a look at how we're teaching the language. The majority, not all, the majority of kids in our school, yun yung impetus, diba? Kasi marami na. Parang na-outweigh na yung mga native language speakers eh. So, pagdating doon, pwede na nating palitan kasi hindi na ito tama. Hindi na ito yung paraan ng pagturo ng Filipino kung hindi naman native language speaker yung anak mo. Yun. So, I would go that way if it were school. I have made friends with all the Filipino children's book publishers in my quest. As in, I introduced myself to them and I said, you know, we need more books for children.
Please write more.
Oh, we need more. It's a conversation that's ongoing.
Yeah. I really do hope that we reach a nice place.
I know. Me too. I wish we were not needed. I wish that suddenly there's a lot of media in Filipino. Like even Filipino pop. If you listen to Korean, mas magaling pa nga sila mag-Korean, di ba? Diba? Because ka media talaga siya.
Ano ba, hindi ba tayo interesting? Hindi ba interesting yung mga pinapalabas?
Kasi it's about making money, I guess. Kasi yung Korean, hindi naman natin pinroduce yan, dinab lang natin yan. So, syempre mura yon, right? And they are, the production values that are put in there was done because there's a good ROI. That they are exporting this and they are, you know, putting it out there. So, and they're not content for kids. Diba?
For learning.
Yeah, it's not that. So, the way there's shows for teaching English, you can imagine what kind of shows should be there for teaching Filipino. And but there, as parents, what can we do? Let's please talk to our children in Filipino. Paki sigurado na sumagot, hindi yung nakakaintindi lang, pakisagot. Look for a teaching moment. Yan yung natutunan ko sa learning library, the teaching moment. Na parang, alam mong ready siya for a grammar lesson. Huwag naman ora-orada na kinukulit mo na siya.
Very, I believe in that. Yung ino-honor mo talaga na there's a specific moment. Hindi yung i-ambush mo.
As a tip, verbs are harder to teach than nouns because nouns you can see. But verbs, number one, you have to imagine it. And number two, there's conjugation of verbs. The major heat up.
Oh my gosh, I'm getting a nosebleed.
Nosebleed in Filipino. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Imagine, right? Since 2006, we've been, you know, thinking of this and what can we do, right? So we save those closer to the boat.
Hey, and if anybody out there is listening and they want a little bit of saving, where can they find the Learning Library?
Yeah, so our website is learninglibraries.com because we used to have branches, yeah, Learning Libraries. But we're on Facebook, the Learning Library, also Instagram. We offer a free Filipino assessment, absolutely no strings attached. You just want to know how bad it is or how good your child actually is, right? You don't know, right, that they're good pala, diba? Nahihiya lang magsalita sa'yo, pero marunong pala. And then please go to our website. There's a blog there. We have articles. We have sobrang daming tips to help you and inspire you and encourage you because it's never too late.
Yes. And it's not easy also. So oh, I definitely. Think
definitely.
Really need all the help they can get. Yeah.
So we teach reading also. And I tell my friends that my children are readers. because I read to them every night. That's not easy. You're tired. I had a corporate job. Anytime that I come home within their hours na hindi pa sila tulog, magbabasa kami. Yan. Every day. Every day. It's the same. You just do it every day. And there's not a lot that is more important than your children's education.
Yeah. I want to take this time to remind all the parents, because it can get tiring to read the same book over and over every single night. But you just got to push for knowledge and excellence and education.
And love for it. Really.
And love for it.
It's really just the love for it. I did not tell any of my three children to go to the library, but they ended up going to the library. Parang kasi, it was a pleasurable thing for them. Sipin mo, lunchtime, pupunta ka ng library. Why? Because for you, reading is a pleasure, right? The thing is, parents don't actually choose the right book, and that's a whole different talk altogether. But basahin nyo naman muna bago nyo ibigay sa bata. Hindi yung bili lang tayo ng bili, or oh, you choose, and then you just buy whatever they choose, right?
Yeah, yeah. You also have to get invested.
Uh-oh, please make time.
That's a good tip.
Please make time.
Oh, thank you, Vanessa. I enjoyed this chat.
Yeah, me too, me too. I'm sorry if I spoke too much. I'm excited.
No, don't be sorry. Love that.
Right.
Thank you.
Thanks too.
Mother of Fact is proudly an Anima podcast. Check out other great content by following Anima online at AnimaPods on Twitter and Instagram. Digging the podcast so far? Leave a rating and don't be shy to record a voice message for me. You might just end up in the next episode. Click the link in the description or hit me up online. It's at Ricky Flo.